You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. Two words put the Capital Public Radio newsroom in a bit of a frenzy this week. Those words lit up our Facebook page and have launched all kinds of retweets. Those words are James Marsters. The platinum blonde vampire Spike from TV's hit show Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel. He'll be in Sacramento this weekend for the first ever Wizard World Comic Con. And yes, I think he's on the phone with us right now from Los Angeles. Hi, James.
Hey, how you doing?
Welcome to Insight.
Good to be here.
So frenzy is not an understatement. The cult that's around Buffy and Angel seems to still be growing. Do you see it that way?
Yeah, I do, as a matter of fact. I think thanks to Netflix and thanks to DVDs, that more and more people are getting to see them. I meet people who are seeing them for the first time a lot. I think that we're the new Star Trek. I remember when Star Trek was getting more and more popular as the years went by. I think we're the new Star Trek, and I'm the new Spike. I'm the new Spock.
You're the new Spock. Spock is the Spock.
There's one letter difference.
One of our digital producer, Marnette, looked over today, and she said, when did these shows end? And it's pretty amazing when you think that Buffy and Angel ended their first runs like a decade ago, James.
Yeah, yeah.
So questions have come in. What did you say?
Time flies.
Time does fly, yeah. But because everybody's tracking you, we asked for questions, and they came in from all over. So I hope you're up for a lot of them in the next 10 minutes. Little bit of background. You were born in Greenville, California, but you grew up in Modesto. So Melody Stone, another digital producer, wondered, have you ever done a Comic-Con or anything so close to home, and how often do you go back to Modesto?
I used to go back to Modesto every other week. My son was living in Modesto, and I had a little farmhouse out McHenry Avenue. And so I would pick him up after school every other Friday, and we would spend the weekend. Actually, it was out in Escalon, which is a neighboring city. But I'd come in every other weekend. He is now 17, and he's living in Berkeley, so I'm not getting to Modesto as much as I used to, but I've been back many, many times.
So with you as his dad, what are his interests? What does he want to do with his life?
He got co-opted into my band, Ghost of the Robot. This summer we're going to be touring to Italy, Berlin, London, Paris. Last year we went to Florence, New York, Chicago. And actually we're here. We're in Sacramento Saturday night at the Assembly Music Hall. Other interests than that would be school. He's in Berkeley High, and he's getting straight A's again. He's decided that he doesn't want to be poor. I told him if he wants to be a musician, that's fine, but he has to embrace poverty. He looked at me and he's like, well, I think I'm going to go do my homework right now, and I think I'm not going to embrace poverty. I think I want some money. So.
You sound like a proud and attentive parent.
I'm very proud and very lucky to be.
You mentioned the band Ghost of the Robot. We have a clip, so let's take a listen.
Are we done for now, or is this for good? Will there be something in time with us? There should only girl for me is you. There can be no other one. If I didn't have faith, I would come undone. So much promise in your eyes. Seems that I can only.
It's the music of Ghost of the Robot, and I am talking with James Marsters, who will be in Sacramento Saturday with all the big activities of all the people walking around in capes and costumes and a whole lot of frenzy for it. Tell me about the music and the acting. Why you continue with the band after all these years and roles, and how the two fit together. And that question actually comes from our senior producer, who is quite devoted to all things James Marsters.
Tell your senior producer they have very good taste.
Okay, her name's Jen. She just heard it.
Jen, you have very good taste. Yes, I've been playing music in bars since I was like 13 years old.
Really?
When I was 13, I was doing James Taylor covers, like exclusively. That's all I knew how to play.
But I slowly
branched out. I chose to go to college for acting, but I've always considered myself to be a musician. Meeting Charlie DeMars and Kevin McPherson really just opened my life up. We've been all over the world. We've toured all over the world, sold out shows in every city in Europe that I can think of. I don't think that we've been to like Thailand or Beijing or anything, but we've been almost everywhere else. Music is just a universal language. You can go to any country, and if you're singing honestly, you can connect with people all over the place. We have played Sacramento before, but we love to play Sacramento because actually we record all of our albums in Sacramento. In fact, we're back in the studio now recording our next album. Our last album sold just hugely. You can go on iTunes and get all of our stuff. But our last album, I think it sold 60,000. And we're hoping the next album does it even better. But yeah, we record our music at Puss Cavern, which if anyone wants to record music, I would highly recommend hooking up with Joe at Puss Cavern. It's where Cake does all of their recording. Cake being another Sacramento-based band that I think is really, really good.
Yeah, and
I love music, and I'd like to create. In fact, I have a new TV series that's going to be on the Sci-Fi Channel called Metal Hurlant, which is a European-produced television series, much like the old Twilight Zone episodes of the Black and White with Rod Serling. Really good acting, really good production values, really horrible endings for all characters involved.
All right, what's your character in the series?
They're all episodic. They're all standalone episodes. And they wanted me to do one per season. Their seasons were only 6 episodes long. So they did 2 seasons, and the Sci-Fi Channel has picked up both seasons, all 12 episodes. And I'm in 2 of them. In one of them is about an 18-year-old girl that wakes up in a bomb shelter. Her next-door neighbor is down there, and that's my character. And he says that World War III has started. The missiles have been fired. I happen to have had a bomb shelter. I didn't have time to tell you about all of this, so I just knocked you over the head and dragged you down into my bomb shelter. Don't open the front door.
A little villainous then, definitely.
Yeah. So she's got to figure out if he's lying or not. And it's just a horrible ending. And then I play a cowboy doctor in another one that can magically heal people and ends up tearing a whole town apart because everyone figures out that if they shoot somebody in this town, nobody dies. So it just turns into pandemonium.
Well, who knows where it will go, because if I remember right, Buffy started with just one script and one episode for you, and then it just took off from there.
Oh, yeah. Seriously, the show is a monster hit in Europe already. It's based on the comic book Metal Hurlant that was heavy metal over here. A lot of people may remember that comic book or the movie Heavy Metal. Also, speaking of comic books, I've just written my own comic book. It's coming out for Dark Horse Comics. It's going to be called Into the Light, and it's about Spike, and they're just putting the finishing touches on it, and it'll be available both online and in stores in the next month.
This is great to talk to you because you're answering a lot of the questions just automatically in conversation. People are so interested in what you're doing next. I want to skip back to something in your past, though. Our intern, Cody Drabble, is really into your music and wondered, at the time that you went to Juilliard and then after 2 years ended up leaving, and somewhere along the way, I think you were called a punk at Juilliard. What happened then? What happened back then?
what happened at Juilliard? They kicked my ass out. Excuse me, I shouldn't probably cuss, but yeah, they told me I'd never be an actor, and then I stopped before I got bitter, because I basically stood up during our first play that we did in our freshman year. It was really horrible. It was a play called Troilus and Cressida, which is a Shakespeare play, but not his best play. It was one of the, they call it a difficult play because it kind of sucks, and you're not supposed to say that about Shakespeare, but not every play that he wrote was awesome. Some of them are a little boring. So anyway, we're doing a boring Shakespeare play. There's only like three that are bad. The rest of them are awesome.
And that's what ended it for you?
Well, I stood up and said so. I said, this is the worst play I've done in my life. People are going to be spending 3.5 hours of their lives with us, and we're going to waste their time, and on a very human level, they're not going to be able to forgive us. And these people are going to be our teachers, and if we want to have a good experience here at Juilliard, we're going to have to stop messing around and really try to tell the story. And they did not appreciate that.
Ah, that...
They thought I was judging Juilliard, and I wasn't judging Juilliard. I was judging my fellow students, saying, we got to pick up our game so that we can deserve to be at Juilliard. But they didn't quite get that distinction.
And so is all the bitterness gone from that experience?
Hell no.
It didn't sound like it.
No, you know, it's not quite so intense as it used to be.
Yeah, I'm glad we could diffuse a little bit of it here, James.
I remember I was shooting P.S. I Love You in New York, and it was a really good movie with Hilary Swank and Kathy Bates and Jerry Butler and stuff. And they put me up in a hotel, this really swanky hotel, right across the street from the front door at Juilliard. And I got to drink my coffee and stare down at the front entrance of Juilliard. And I could just under my mind say, how you like me now, babe?
You might need some therapy, yeah.
Who am I? Haven't gotten there.
Okay, a couple quick questions here. This one was tweeted to us. You brought up Shakespeare. Who is your favorite Shakespeare heroine? Who do you like best in the stories? Any character?
Mm. Oh, no, there's so many.
Yeah.
I think Miranda in The Tempest is really great. I think Brutus's wife, I think, is it Portia? Portia might be my favorite character. She just delivers some of the best language about the strength of women and about how guys don't necessarily see that all the time.
Okay, on the subject of women, here's a question from Madeline. How do you feel about Sarah Michelle Gellar choosing Angel over Spike?
I think that it was probably constructed that way wisely, you know. I mean, Spike only got his soul very late in the game, and I think that I'm not really sure either character deserved Buffy. I think Buffy was a really awesome human being that deserved someone that was just as awesome as she was, and I thought that both Angel and Spike were kind of messed up, even though they had souls, even though they had cool hair or whatever. They still had so many issues that I thought she probably deserved someone better than both of them. But Angel had his soul long enough that he had his priorities a little straighter. Spike was, you know, evil pretty much the whole time.
You said he was seeking goodness. At one point you used that phrase. Changed your mind?
Well, the thing is... I didn't want them to kill my character off, so I played Spike as if he had a soul from the beginning. Mm. But it was written as if he didn't. So there's a little bit of a conundrum there.
That's interesting.
I was talking with David Fury, who's one of the producers and writers of Buffy, and he was like, yeah, we noticed that, James, and so we had to incorporate that. And we just said that part of Spike's soul was still in him.
Well,
I think, and actually, you know, Joss is still writing comic books, and they're doing season 10 now for comic books. And I think anybody interested in the Spike Buffy relationship should probably check out those comic books, because I think it's going to get very interesting between the two of those characters.
Okay, well, I have one more question for you, but I'd really like you to answer in that accent of yours. Can you give me the London accent?
No, I can't do that anymore. Like, you pay me lots of money, and then I'll do it for you. But look, I've moved on with my life, and I don't do it anymore, right? Just stop asking me to do the accent, if you don't mind. It's just very embarrassing to me, all right?
Well, I was just curious, have you moved on from your hair? Could you tell me what kind of a hair day you're
do
having?
I the accent for you. No, have I moved on from the hair? Yes. I moved on from the hair the day after Angel stopped filming.
Oh, yeah?
I went on the Ryan Seacrest show, and he shaved my head bald. And we did it for charity. The hair was really painful. I have curly hair, and so my scalp is dry. And so that that bleach would just get into my scalp and burn it. And I would have blisters constantly. They would have to cut a lot of close-ups on my face because one of the blisters would pop, and I would just pus would just drip down my face.
You're bordering,
it really got bad.
You're bordering on TMI right there, weren't you?
Well, that's glamour, man. That is Hollywood, and that's what you go through if you want to look good. Ask anybody with bleach blonde hair.
Yeah, can I ask you one more thing? When you come to Sacramento to record, will you come into the studio and you can either play music in here or we'll just chat, but come in and let's visit and do this again because...
Yeah, I would love that.
It's so much fun and there's just not a lot of time.
Come down to the Assembly Music Hall at 7:30 on Saturday night. It's on 1000 K Street, right across from the Crest Theater. And come backstage. I'd love to meet you.
Wow. What an invitation. I can't pass that one up, especially from a guy who has this quote, and I love this, James, that you said this a lot of years ago. Stardom, you said, is an artificial thing. It'll make you lose your head. And you won me over with that one.
Yeah. I think that's absolutely true.
Thank you so much. Have a great time in Sacramento.
Yeah, I love Sacramento. I come here very often. In fact, I'm at a vineyard in the Delta, just 30 miles south of you right now. Got a friend who's got a ranch here and on a vineyard.
Sounds beautiful. Yeah. Looking forward to seeing you soon. Thank you so much.
Right on. Thank you for the time.
All right. That's James Marsters. That's Spike. And, we're going to hear some music. This is Insight on Capital Public Radio.
Let me get some sleep. Let me take my...